you become one of them. You've been warned.
Jolene blinked a moment and looked at Roxy.
You serious? All of this is very serious. Someone is after my Sean, and neither one of us has any idea why. So before I start asking people who might know, I thought perhaps you could use your magic on him and find out if there's anything special about him.
Wait.
You just warned me a moment ago that I probably shouldn't sleep with him, and now you're saying you want me to use my magic on him? Roxy, I'm a tantric witch.
Yeah, I know,
Roxy sighed. But you're the only person I know who I trust, and I have to start somewhere.
Jolene nodded.
Okay, well, tell me what you know, and I'll see what I can do.
Sean knocked, and then, opening the door, walked into Roxy's room. Roxy was pacing back and forth, talking to her friend Jolene, who was sitting cross-legged on the bed. Jolene was barefoot, a pair of very racy spike heels on the floor, wearing a pair of jeans and a peasant blouse with a low cut in the front that did nothing to hide her rather abundant cleavage. She was definitely more curvy than Roxy was, and Sean figured she was maybe 5.5 feet tall, with long brown hair that came down to her very shapely ass.
The only thing I can't figure out is why they haven't attacked here.
Roxy was just finishing up. She then turned, smiling at him as he entered and came over, and then gave him a hug and a very passionate kiss. Sean wondered if she was perhaps marking out her territory in front of her friend.
Hi, hon.
Roxy sighed.
Hi, love,
Sean replied, smiling. He could feel his lion preening at the attention, but then so was he.
This is my friend Jolene, who you've mentioned noticing before. Jolene, this is Sean.
Hi, Sean,
Jolene said, and rather sensually uncrossed her legs, got up, and came over and gave him a hug. Sean still had one arm around Roxy, but he put the other one around Jolene and hugged her back. She beamed up at him, and damned if he didn't start to get hard. Letting go of him, Jolene sauntered back over to the bed and sat down, and Sean thought he detected a faint growl from Roxy, so he hugged her a little tighter and rubbed up against her.
Okay, Jolene started. I think that may be my fault.
And she looked a little embarrassed.
Your fault?
Roxy looked surprised.
How? I've warded this entire building against scrying and tracking. Magically, this place doesn't exist. So anyone using magical means to locate anyone inside this building,
Jolene shrugged, and Sean appreciated the way it made her chest bounce,
won't find them when they're here.
Why did you ward the house? Sean asked.
Because of her.
Jolene grinned and pointed at Roxy.
I'm over here recharging my batteries often enough that I don't want anyone to know about it.
Sean looked at Roxy, who was now blushing rather fiercely and squirming against him, and then he looked back at Jolene.
Wait, what? Recharging your batteries?
I'm a tantric witch, Sean. Do you know what that means?
You use sex to cast magic?
Sean blinked and looked at Roxy again.
You've been casting magic in here?
Jolene laughed.
No, not really. Well, except for when I recharge the wards. You see, I use the power that sex gives me to do spells and other magic. As I can store that power inside me, I just come here to do a little recharging.
And she smiled at Roxy so warmly that Sean almost felt jealous.
Jolene and I became friends back when I first started college here,
Roxy spoke up.
She eventually figured out what I was and told me what she was, and, well, we were already friends, and sex with a friend is more powerful than with a stranger, and, I sort of agreed to help her out if she'd help me out.
Okay,
Sean said, and looked at Roxy, then back at Jolene, then back at Roxy, his imagination running quite wild at this point.
There's one other thing to it, Jolene added, that Roxy didn't mention.
You mean this gets better?
Sean said, grinning, and Roxy smacked him on the butt with her hand.
While I get okay power from having sex with humans, I get a lot more from creatures with a magical potential.
Like lichens?
Especially lichens,
Jolene said with a wink as she smiled at him.
Just remember one thing,
Roxy growled in his ear softly.
What?
Lichens and humans don't mate. It rarely ever works out.
What about lycans and witches?
His lion growled rather lustily.
What about lycans and witches?
Sean repeated with a smirk.
Just tell your lion not to be in a rush to add her to his pride.
What about me?
He teased. Roxy just scowled at him, and Jolene laughed from the bed.
I'm not looking to join any prides. Don't worry. I'm far too happy playing the field.
Sure you are.
Sean smiled and nodded. So now what?
Well, Roxy wants me to use my magic on you to see what I can learn.
Does that mean we're going to have sex?
Sean asked, a little surprised.
No,
Roxy growled.
Probably not,
Jolene said with a smile. Sean shrugged.
Okay, so what do I do?
You can start by stripping.
Sean glanced down at the obvious tent in his trousers.
Don't worry, I've seen lots of erections and I just love looking at them,
Jolene said, and licked her lips, winking at him again.
And I'm sure Roxy will be more than happy to help you with it, once this is done.
He looked at Roxy, who had already started to undo his belt, so grabbing his t-shirt, he just pulled it up over his head and tossed it on Roxy's desk as his pants fell down around his ankles. He wasn't wearing any underwear, and he'd left his shoes and socks back in his room, so stepping out of his jeans, he was completely naked. Jolene looked him up and down.
Wow, I had no idea you were so well developed under those clothes.
Don't swell his ego up too much,
Roxy chuckled.
I don't think it could swell anymore,
Jolene teased, and Sean blushed just a little. To say he was excited was definitely an understatement.
Take the watch off, too,
Jolene said, noticing it. Any other jewelry? She continued looking him over.
Nope,
he said, and handed the watch to Roxy, who put it on the table.
Okay. I need you to lie down on the bed, on your back, she said.
And taking his hand, she brought him over to the bed and had him lay down on his back, then positioned his hands folded over his navel. And then, grabbing his feet, she spread his legs apart so his feet were at the same width as his shoulders.
Okay. Close your eyes.
Sean did as she asked, and after a moment he felt one of her hands on his forehead and the other on his folded hands. He started to see images then. It took him a moment to realize that he was reliving Friday all over again. It all seemed to be going well until the moment he was grabbed from behind. Then it all stopped.
Shit.
Jolene swore.
What?
Roxy asked, sounding worried.
There's something going on here. This is going to be a bit harder than I thought.
He felt her hands leave him then, and he heard the rustle of fabric.
What are you?
He heard Roxy say.
You better take your clothes off too, hon,
he heard Jolene say. Sean opened his eyes and was just about to ask what was going on when Jolene straddled his chest, naked.
I need more contact,
she said, smiling down at him.
Lift your arms a second.
Sean did as he was bid, and she moved up until her knees were almost in his armpits, her legs lying along his side.
Good. Put your hands where they were before.
Sean nodded and did so, and she sat down on them. Putting her hands on either side of his face, she ran them up into his hair and leaned forward, her full chest only inches away from his face.
Close your eyes,
Jolene instructed him. Sean did so, and almost gasped as she lay down on top of him, his face now well buried between her rather attractive breasts.
Okay, let's try this again,
she purred. Jolene closed her eyes and started to work her magic. Prying through people's memories was usually child's play, at least when they were willing. And this Sean beneath her was very willing for other things, too, she could tell, but she didn't blame him for that. Most men were, and to be honest, he was a pretty impressive specimen. Roxy had finally picked a winner, it seemed. Settling down into Sean's head, she started his Friday all over again, only this time she started at the moment he had woken up. Sometimes when you ran into a block, having a little momentum helped. She didn't linger over anything. She just let it all run at the speed of thought, until she came up to his confrontation with Dean again. Once that had played out, She slowed things down and started to push all of her power into his remembering. She wasn't going to be denied. She didn't like it when she was blocked from something she wanted, and she liked it even less when someone was blocked from something that was theirs. Jolene hit the first wall when Sean was tasered, his body going rigid for a moment under her as he relived the moment.
"It's okay," she whispered. "It's just a memory. It has no power over you."
She felt his surprise and relived his shock as he tried to figure out just what was happening. She felt it when he kicked, but heard the sound he had missed, the sound of something growling outside the van, the sound of tearing metal. Then the crash and the pain as he broke his arm and had his leg ripped open. Jolene hit the second wall then, as he pulled off the hood and looked around, seeing what was happening around him. The Lionware laying waste to the remaining man, who was shooting him with a damn big gun. The Lionware said something, but she couldn't hear it. Backing the memory up, she threw even more power at it, and ran through it again. The Lionware called him by name. It was peculiar that such a memory would be blocked. Then, he was unconscious again. Jolene hit another wall, and had to force her way through it with even more power. It was a man, one whom Sean's subconscious immediately identified. A friend, an old family friend. He was talking, but she couldn't hear what he was saying. Jolene rewound and started it again, pushing more energy into it. Still there was no sound. She could see his lips moving, even make out some of the words. With a growl of her own, she rewound the memory once again, and this time she pushed all of her power into it, not holding anything back as she ground her body against Sean, who was panting beneath her. Jolene heard Samson warn Sean that they were after him, and that he, Samson, was dying, that they wanted something his father may have left him. She heard all of it, and then Samson bit Sean, infecting him, changing him. She felt the lion inside him take root as his body healed, and left with no coherent mind to steer it as Sean had passed out from blood loss and shock. The lion ran off and hid, until it had made enough sense of Sean's thoughts to go gather up his dropped books and return to his room.
"What's going on?"
Roxy asked. The concern in her voice was clear to hear.
"There's a block in his mind, blocking the memories,"
Jolene was panting. She was nearly spent, but she'd broken through all of the blocks. Now to see if she could find the source.
"Could it be from shock? From what happened? From getting bit?"
"No,"
Jolene said.
"This is magical. Someone has put something in his mind."
"Aha!"
She crowed as she found it.
"A gash. An old and well-buried one. From over a decade ago, I'd guess. Someone doesn't want your Sean to remember certain things, or..."
Jolene looked at it further. There was something strange about it, but she wasn't sure. She didn't have enough power left to figure it out. But she had a nice strong lichen male on his back beneath her with an erection that wouldn't quit.
"Oh, this is going to be fun,"
she said, and sitting back up, she looked at Roxy.
"You're not going to,"
Roxy said, looking across between jealous and concerned.
"He's got something nasty in there, and it's going to take a lot of power to remove it,"
Jolene smiled.
"And guess what I have? Two horny lichens who are just full of it."
Reaching back behind her, Jolene raised herself up, and taking Sean's length into her hand, she slid back and guided him into her center, settling down and sighing rather happily as she felt him enter her core. There was a lot of power in this one. A lot. Roxy had most certainly picked a winner.
"You can use your hands now, Sean, and anything else you'd like,"
Jolene giggled, and then motioned to Roxy.
"You can sit down right here in front of me and give Sean something to do with his tongue while we make love,"
Jolene panted as she felt her own lust beginning to rise. Sean's hands had a hold of her hips and were starting to stroke her thighs as Roxy straddled him. Settling down, Roxy started to kiss Jolene, Roxy's hands coming up to massage Jolene's chest, adding her own inherent power to the mix. Roxy was a little uncomfortable at first. She'd never had a threesome before in her life. Ever. She was usually a pretty greedy lover. She didn't like sharing her partners with anyone. But Jolene, somehow Jolene had always been different. That first hesitant time she'd agreed to let Jolene try and feed off of her magical essence, she'd agreed more out of a sense of adventure and daring. But the next time had been because Jolene had not only made her feel incredibly good about herself, but because it had been mind-blowing ecstasy as well. Jolene was a very talented lover. Which only made sense when you realized that she needed to be in order to get her power. But the process of passing the power along was also extremely enjoyable. As soon as Roxy started to kiss Jolene, all hesitation fell away. They were doing this for Sean, after all, and if Jolene said it had to be done, well, she trusted Jolene. Besides, Sean was one of the few men who had ever rivaled Jolene's abilities to make her toes curl, and right now, he was already well along the way to setting her off. Putting one hand behind Jolene's head, Roxy pulled her closer into a deeper kiss. If Jolene needed energy to help Sean, then she was going to make sure she gave her all that she could. Sean's mind was spinning, and not just because he was in bed with two incredibly hot and loving women and having amazingly orgasmic sex, he could actually feel Jolene pulling the energy out of his body, and then using it to slowly take apart his mind. There was something there, something in it, and she was slowly going after it, piece by piece, tendril by tendril. He could feel that it was old, and he could tell that whoever had put it there hadn't done it for Sean's own good. It was an exercise in both love and lust, endurance and strength. He made love to Jolene for what seemed like hours, filling her with his essence several times, all while she and Roxy made love above him. Then positions changed, and suddenly he was inside his Roxy, seeking completion with her, with Jolene in a secondary role now. Yet she was still deep inside his mind, still tapping the energies of the two of them. But as their beasts met, as Sean buried himself in Roxy, their energy spiraled higher, and he felt the thing in his mind begin to fade. It lost its power, and slowly, oh so slowly, it disappeared, until suddenly there was no longer anything there.
"You can be anything you want to be now, Sean," Jolene's voice filled his mind. "Make your choices from the heart, from your love for Roxy, from the joy of what we have shared here, and all will be well."
Arching up, he emptied himself into Roxy one last time as she cried out in joy with him. Then, he quickly fell asleep.
"What just happened?"
Roxy yawned and watched as Sean all but passed out, obviously exhausted. Jolene smiled and cuddled up against Roxy.
"I removed a rather nasty gesh that someone put on him. From what I learned in the process, I think it was done to him when his father died."
"What?"
Roxy turned to look at Jolene.
"Why would anyone do that?"
"Because his father was a powerful wizard and they didn't want his son to follow in his footsteps."
"Wait, his father was a wizard?"
Jolene nodded.
"That's what I'm guessing. The Gesh blocked all of his magical potential. I'm surprised that Samson was even able to infect him. I guess the magic of lycanthropy is different enough that it managed to squeak past the rules. But along with the blocking of his potential, it also blocked his memories. They didn't want him to remember anything about his father or his father's work. So when he was attacked, well, that was all related to his father and his father's work. So the Gesh immediately went to work to block it."
"How does this spell know something like that?"
Roxy asked skeptically.
"It doesn't. Samson told him that it was about his father and his father's work. A Gesh is based in your own mind. In a way, it uses your own mind against you. So, once his mind realized what it was, it triggered the Gesh."
"Exactly."
Jolene yawned and stretched on the bed.
"I don't think I've had a magical workout like this ever. You two are pretty potent, I must say."
"Well,"
Roxy yawned as well,
"I guess we're not getting any studying done tonight."
Looking over at her alarm clock, she gasped.
"It's 3 a.m.
"Yep.
Wake me in the morning. I think I've earned a battery recharging or two."
"Jolene, after last night, you might want to be gone before he wakes up. He's a lion, and he's going to start building a pride soon.
Oh? Jolene giggled. Worried about competition?
Roxy blushed.
Actually, of all the people I could want to be in it with me, you're definitely my first choice.
Now it was Jolene's turn to look surprised.
Hey,
Roxy grinned wearily.
I warned you, and I love him, and I can tell he loves me. So, of course I'm going to help him get the best women. Besides, it's not like we don't have feelings for each other already. Right?
Supernatural Discoveries. Sean woke up from a deep sleep for one reason only. His bladder was full and someone was pressing on it. Opening his eyes, he could see it was still dark out. Roxy's clock said 5:30. Roxy was pressing up against him, with leg drawn up over him, the culprit reminding him of his full bladder, while Jolene was curled up against her.
"Want," said his lion as he looked over Jolene's naked body.
"You and me both," Sean whispered to himself. "But first, let's use the bathroom."
It took him a minute to separate himself, and then he padded down to the bathroom naked. At this time of night, he doubted anyone would be up, and honestly, he really didn't care who saw him naked after the night he'd just had. Returning to Roxy's room, he spied Samson's watch on the table, and, grabbing it, he put it on out of habit. It would be just his luck to forget it here and then spend weeks looking for it back in his own room. Climbing back into bed, he snuggled up to Roxy, who murmured in her sleep and rolled over to face Jolene as he tucked Roxy under his chin and draped an arm over the both of them, and quickly fell back asleep. Sean was sitting at a desk. There were a number of thick, leather-bound books on the desk, but the covers were all blank.
"Hello, Sean."
Looking up, Sean saw his father. He was wearing what looked like a chemist's apron, only it had arcane symbols drawn on it. His hair was black, like Sean's, with a slight touch of gray at the temples. He looked concerned, but not too worried.
"Dad, what are you doing here?"
he asked, sitting behind the desk and unable to stand.
"If you're seeing this, I'm probably dead.
A number of people have begun to take an interest in my work, and not in a good way."
"Is this a recording of some kind?"
Sean asked and looked around. He was in a dream state of some kind, and then it came to him. He had just gone back to sleep with Roxy and Jolene, after a rather exhausting marathon of tantric magic to remove something that Jolene said had been bad for him.
"I've enchanted this watch."
Sean saw his father hold up the watch that Samson had given him.
"And I've asked Samson to give it to you on your 18th birthday, once you've become old enough to understand magic, how it works, and have the energy to use it. There are things I want to teach you, but before I can do that, you will need to learn the basics. And that's the reason for all of this. If the narrow-minded members of the five councils have their way, I'll be barred from continuing my work, perhaps even stripped of any power and cast out of magical society. And if the greedy members of certain circles have their way, well, I won't go down without a fight, and I won't give up that which is mine. That which is, of course, now yours. I've arranged this spell so that it can only affect you, only be used by you. I have put all of my basic spell knowledge and theory into it. Simply by closing your eyes and concentrating, you can come to this place and study these things. You will also be brought here every night to study as well. Do not lose the watch. You must be wearing it for the spell to work. Do not tell others about the watch, lest they try and take it from you, even though it will not work for anyone but you. There is one more important thing you must learn first. And you will learn that now. A magic user must decide what parts of his essence that he will dedicate to learning a particular spell or characteristic before he can learn it. How fast you will learn it will depend on how hard you work. As you progress in skill and in age, you will have more to spend. But remember to spend wisely. Once spent, you cannot undo what you have done. Now, let us begin." One of the books in front of Sean suddenly lit up and had a title on the cover. Mastery of Self. Opening it up, he started to read. It told him first about the general aspects of his mind and his body that he could improve with time. It reminded him very much of the character creation and building process of all those D&D and video games he'd played as a kid. Well, still played, to be honest. You accumulated energy over time and through study. The type of energy you accumulated often determined just how it must be spent. But there was a certain amount of wiggle room on some of the topics. So some things and some changes could be made quickly. Others would take more time and effort. Some would require him to return and spend more of his energy. He liked to think of it as points, as it was always in the same discrete packets or amounts over time. Once how it worked was explained, the spell appeared in the book, and it took him only a moment to learn it. So he cast it. He blinked in surprise as he looked it over. The similarities between it and several of his favorite games were such that he wondered if those games had originally been designed by magic users to help teach their children through play. Either that, or someone decided to go make a killing in the gaming market by simply pirating the actual system in use today. First, there were his physical stats, and looking at them, he was rather shocked to see how high they were, after what he had read to be average range in the book. Apparently, his lycanthropy had given him a huge advantage there. Second, there were his mental stats, and some of those were slightly above average. He suspected that his time in college had raised those. The third set of stats was labeled magical. Those were also higher than expected, quite a bit higher, but he had no clue as to why that was at all. Then he looked at his points available in each of the three categories, physical, mental, magical, and something called scholarly that wasn't apparently a stat, and even though it was a dream, his jaw still dropped. He quickly went back and looked at the book, jumping back and forth between it and his skills chart several times. It was annoying that he couldn't look at them side by side, but he started looking at each of the categories and tried to figure out just why his numbers were so different from the examples given in the book. It looked like a lot of the physical points had already been spent due to his lycanthropy, which he suddenly suspected had gotten him more than a few bonus points. In each of the first three skills, constitution, agility, and strength, his numbers were well beyond anything the book mentioned, and while agility was supposed to be a locked skill like constitution was, it looked like he could still put points into it. That was interesting. Then there was a box at the bottom of that list labeled regeneration that wasn't even in the book, but it sounded good, so he stuck a couple more levels into that, which turned out not to be cheap. Based on what he'd learned from the games he'd played in the past, he pushed most of the remaining points into agility and left himself a couple extra just in case. His strength was already beyond that of a human, so he'd hold off before adding any more there. Under mental, there were five categories: intelligence, wisdom, reasoning, memory, and integration. Again, the last one, integration, wasn't in the book, but obviously had to do with his lycanthropy. The first two in this group were also locked, but in a different way. You couldn't put anything into them, but the book said they would increase on their own, as a result of your own work. So the work he'd done trying to learn to be a better student and to study harder, along with his years in college, had apparently given him some increases in his intelligence, if he was reading this correctly. However, his wisdom increases seemed to have come from a life spent scraping to get by and playing D&D with his friends. He found that last bit to be amusing, but the real surprise was that his years in college had left him with quite a few points to spend. Sean looked at that last skill on the list, the one that wasn't in the book. Integration. The idea that he could now actually do something to speed up learning to work with his beast, his lion, was pretty damn appealing. He dropped two levels worth of points into it, which was half of what he had left. Apparently the lichen skills had a higher point cost per level. That done, he put a couple levels into memory and reasoning as well, and sat on the last two points for later. There were only three magical stats: ability, mana, and will. Ability was locked and apparently inherited, according to the book, so his being high was probably just because of his dad. His mana levels, however, were higher than normal, quite a bit. Jolene had mentioned several times tonight that lichens had higher energy levels, so maybe that was the reason for it. Only Sean's will stat looked normal, if at the high end of things. So he stuck a few points in mana, just because he could, but put all of the rest into will. It looked like your will was what drove your ability to cast, so it was probably the most important stat on the entire sheet, if you were a magic user. Skipping back to the book for a minute seemed to confirm that thought. Done with the stats part of the sheet, Sean came to what was labeled as scholarly. He had 50 points. He'd been accruing them for almost 3 years now, and of course hadn't spent a one. Again, his studies had helped a lot in gaining him more points. Apparently studying logic and science had helped him quite a bit, as well as his age. The book said you normally started with somewhere between 6 or 8, depending on your schooling until that point. Running down the lists of spells, he quickly realized one thing. His father had obviously been an alchemist. There were other things there. Some of them were strange, and some of them didn't look all that good either. If his father had learned some of those, he could see why perhaps his dad wasn't as popular with some people as you might expect. He'd have to think about all of this. A few of the spells stood out almost instantly, like healing, protection from spells, and some shield spells. Then there was a list of offensive spells, as well as just a number of ones that he couldn't make head nor tails of right now. He decided it could all wait until morning. He was tired. Taking another look around the room, he saw a sign that said exit, and as he thought about using it, left the dream and went back to sleep. Monday. Sean woke up when the alarm went off, but Roxy and Jolene were both still soundly asleep. But a little coaxing, using lips, teeth, and fingers, Roxy woke up fairly quickly, and went from grumpy to sighing and then moaning happily in short order. By the time he was done with her, Jolene had woken up and was demanding her fair share for all of the work she'd done last night. Roxy kicked the both out of her room when she got back from the shower. She remembered that her father was going to show up sometime this morning, and she had class. Sean realized that he had class as well, but decided that missing one wouldn't hurt, and that being with Jolene was a lot more fun. So, just how does magic work? He asked her later, when they were lying in his bed together covered in sweat. That's a question that would take years to answer, Jolene sighed, cuddling up against him. Sean had definitely replaced a lot of her power this morning. She'd actually woken up because of the power Sean and Roxy had been giving off while having sex, not because they'd been all that noisy. Doesn't anyone know?
Oh, people know, but it's just different for every type of magic. A lot of mine is very mentally based, like you saw last night. I have to be touching someone to affect them. The spells I have where I don't have to be touching someone or something require certain sounds to be uttered while making certain gestures, most of which are really just mnemonic keys to my own mind to help shape and focus the magical energy, or what most folks call mana, in my body.
And how do you learn spells?
Well, some I studied. I had a master who taught me a bunch of basic spells, but then he taught me what he claimed was his greatest secret,
Jolene said with a wink.
And that was? Sean asked her.
Jolene laughed.
Why would I tell you his greatest secret?
Sean rolled over on top of her, and pinning her hands above her head with one hand, he started to tickle her with the other.
No fair,
Jolene laughed.
Hey, you shouldn't have told me if you weren't going to come clean, Sean laughed. Besides, who else can you brag to?
Okay, I give.
Sean stopped and gave her a nice long kiss until she got all soft and cuddly under him.
So, you were saying?
About what?
Jolene grinned.
I can either tickle you or we can do other things, he growled.
Other things?
Fun things, Sean said, lowering his voice.
Oh, I like the sound of that, Jolene said in a sultry voice of her own.
So what is this secret?
Oh, I just make them up.
Sean blinked at her.
What?
I make them up as I go. You see, tantric magic is pretty flexible. Well, at least as flexible as the caster. I've got all the basics down pat, and when I have, say, a very handsome lion and a very sexy cheetah to work with, and I can throw all the energy I want at a problem, well, then I just brute force my way through it until I find what I want. Then I look at what I've learned and use my finesse.
I got a bunch of lists and books I need to go through.
Sean sighed and rolled off her and back onto his side.
Where?
Jolene asked, looking around the room.
In my head, he said, tapping his temple.
Apparently whatever you got rid of had been blocking some sort of teaching spell my dad had put on me that was supposed to activate when I turned 18.
Wow. I've heard of those, from a few young wizards I met a few years back. They told me that they have this form-like thing that they have to use to progress into anything new.
Oh? They mention anything else?
Well, you can study anything you want to, really. Though most families tend to follow certain paths in their studies. All they can do is learn spells with it, though, which is kind of sad. I can use my magic on myself, my body, to help keep healthy and in shape.
I can use it on my physical abilities, my stats, if you will, Sean admitted.
That sounds different, Jolene said slowly, after thinking about it a moment. You might want to talk to some other wizards or magic users to see if that's the same for them.
Right now I'd rather keep a low profile, Sean confessed. I've already got one set of enemies out there, and if that spell was blocking my abilities, then who knows who else will be unhappy to hear that it's gone.
Jolene's eyes widened a bit when he said that.
Or that there's a lycan who can practice wizard magic.
Aren't there any lycan magic users?
Jolene shrugged, and Sean leaned over to kiss one of her breasts as her movement made it jiggle.
Minor ones, simple alchemists, lay healers, hedge wizards.
Ooh, that felt good. Do that again.
Sean was more than happy to comply.
Also, lycans are looked down on by most magic users and the greater magical community.
Why? Sean asked, and then gave her a little nip that made her gasp.
Because you're animals, of course.
Animals.
Sean growled and gave another harder nip, enjoying the way Jolene arched her back and moaned.
Oh, they have a low opinion of tantric magic users, too. They say we're all sluts and whores.
They sound pretty stuck up, then, if you ask me.
And if your father's best friend was a werelion, then he probably already had a strike against him.
Jolene moaned and started putting her own hands to good use.
Time to pay up, kitty cat,
she said, and shivered as he nibbled at her nipples again.
With pleasure, Sean teased.
Oh, yes. With lots of pleasure.
It was noon by the time he got out of the shower and dressed, so grabbing his meal plan tickets, Sean headed down to the college cafeteria while keeping a wary eye on his surroundings. He noticed that there were a lot more cops on campus today, and campus security was being very visible. Piling his tray rather high with food, he went and found a quiet corner to sit in, with his back to the wall so he could observe all of the comings and goings.
Sean!
He looked up and saw Alex, who had his own lunch and was heading over to where he was sitting.
Oh, hey, Alex. What's up? I didn't see you in class this morning. I was wondering if you got caught up in all that shit that went down at the mall yesterday.
I decided to sleep in. Had a very late night last night, Sean shrugged.
Stayed up late playing with your new girlfriend?
Alex joked. Sean nodded and looked around the room. No one was paying them any attention.
Yeah, that was most of it. After everything that's gone on this weekend, well, I think I needed a break.
My mom told me that Mrs. Grady said that the cops were at your mom's place yesterday, and that they blocked off your neighbor's house?
Sean sighed. How the hell he'd managed to forget about all of that, even for a few hours, was beyond him.
That didn't sound good,
Alex said, as Sean set down his fork.
Samson was found shot to death on Saturday. My mom's missing. No one knows where she is, and someone absolutely trashed our place.
Samson must have caught them in his place, because not only was it trashed, but there were two dead bodies in it.
Holy shit, man!
Alex gaped.
How are you even here today?
Sean shrugged. Not much I can do. And where else can I go? Other than my girlfriend and you guys, I don't have anybody.
Wow. That's just the worst, man. Here I thought the big excitement was that terrorist attack over at the mall yesterday. Boy, did those suckers walk into it. Only way it could have been worse was if they had picked a mall in Texas.
Sean smiled a little wanly at that.
How many people got killed?
5 people were shot. 2 are in critical condition, but the terrorists? I think it's 6 dead, 2 in comas, and a couple more who got shot up pretty good.
Sean shook his head. Roxy and I were shopping when it started. We ran out the back, came home, and decided life was better in bed for the rest of the night.
Damn, dude! Talk about a bad day,
Alex commiserated.
You went from one bad thing right into the next.
Yeah. So what did I miss at game night Saturday?
Zach's monk got killed.
Alex grinned, more than happy to change the subject to something a bit less of a downer.
Again?
Yup. That makes the 6th time. John and I are trying to get him to start a new character. Bringing him back is gonna be hella expensive this time.
Sean snorted.
Yeah, but who else has a kamikaze hobbit monk in their group? Was it as funny as the last time?
Oh yeah, you should have been there. He had us all in stitches. Even Chad lost it at one point and couldn't run the game for like 15 minutes.
Sean shook his head and chuckled. Just a few days ago, life was so damn simple. Go to school, study, play games with his friends.
You got Roxy. And Jolene soon, too.
His lion pointed out, surprising him. Sean had even forgotten about him. But now that he remembered, he realized that his lion felt a lot more, well, there. He kind of liked it.
So, you going to classes this afternoon?
Alex asked, starting in on his food.
Yeah, Sean agreed and went back to eating as well. He was starving and he'd already gone through half of what he'd bought.
Classes were a good idea. He knew everyone who belonged in them, and anyone who didn't belong in the building would stand out like a sore thumb. Plus, sitting in class, maybe he could just forget all about his troubles for a few hours more. Roxy smiled at her father. They were sitting in the back of the same Denny's that she and Sean had lunch in yesterday, and while their father wasn't in uniform, the haircut, clothes, and whole demeanor just screamed, "Cop," to everyone in the place.
Okay, he started. Tell me about him.
Why? Roxy grinned. So you can tell me how I'm wrong and how you know everything about him? Come on, Dad. I know that you've had everyone in the department searching all the records for every little scrap of information on him. So let's just cut to the chase, and you can tell me how bad he is for me and why.
Honey, I'm hurt that you would even say that, her father protested, looking the very picture of wounded innocence.
Save it for the judge, Dad, Roxy laughed. I stopped falling for that when I was 13.
Honey, I'm your father. It's my job to look out for you.
Uh-huh, sure, fine. But your little girl is all grown up now, Daddy. You know I can take care of myself. You taught me, after all.
Still, this could be dangerous, honey.
Oh? Any more dangerous than being the sheriff's only daughter?
Roxy looked up at her father and shook her head.
You know, I used to be really mad at you for that time Paulson and his men grabbed me to try and pressure you. Now? I'm glad it happened. Because it taught me how to deal with those kinds of people.
Roxy had the pleasure of watching her father stiffen for a moment. The Paulson gang hadn't realized that things like lichens existed. After she'd finished with them, they were no longer able to care.
I'm sorry about that, honey. Really, I...
Roxy waved her hand, cutting her father off.
Water under the bridge, Dad. I'm not letting go of this one. Someone threw him in the deep end, and thank God I was there to keep him from drowning.
There's going to be trouble, honey. I can smell it.
There's already been trouble, Daddy. He's mine.
You've only known him since, what, Saturday? How can he be yours already?
Roxy shrugged and grinned.
He's a lion. He laid claim to me pretty damn quick.
I don't think he even realized he'd done it. He'd only been bit the night before.
He's been a lion less than a day, and you're already hooking up for life with him? The disbelief on her father's face was palpable.
Well, first off, I've known Sean for years, just he wasn't one of us, so I never really pursued anything with him. So it's not like I didn't know him, and Dad, really, he's a lion. Trust me on this one, Dad. The guy that bit him had helped raise him. Sean's got his head screwed on right, and while you may be my father and all that, if you laid a finger on me in front of him, he'd probably rip your arm off and beat you to death with it. He's got a pretty serious thing for me.
Her father sighed, conceding defeat. Yeah, lions are like that. They fill their prides with kick-ass women and then go absolutely mental if anyone even looks at them sideways. His daughter was the most headstrong of all his kids. His wife, Gloria, said Roxy took after him too much. He guessed he shouldn't be surprised that a lion would snag her. So who was the lion?
His neighbor, Samson, Roxy told him.
The dead guy?
I guess I better tell you what I know, Roxy sighed. And this is family now, Dad. Got that?
Her father nodded. Being a sheriff was one thing, but when you were a lichen, family obviously came first. 30 minutes later, and Bill Channing was wondering if he could hit his daughter over the head, stuff her in the back of the car, and lock her up back home. Just what have you gotten yourself into, Roxy?
Roxy smiled winningly at her father. That, Daddy, is what I want you to find out.
Her father shook his head. You know that the different councils that oversee the wizards and other magic users don't care much for us, honey. They're not going to want to tell me anything about Sean's father, and this definitely sounds like the kind of screwed-up mess that they'd cause with their politicking.
It's been over a decade. People aren't good with secrets. I'm sure somebody has talked or is willing to talk. Besides, isn't secrecy supposed to be some big thing with those guys?
Roxy pointed out.
With that attack yesterday, they definitely drew a lot of attention. You could just tell them that once again the Lycans are trying to cover up their mistakes. I mean, really, Dad, didn't you tell me that they're always trying to get you to cover up their dirty work for them?
He nodded slowly and sighed. Well, the governor did call me this morning. Wants to set up a task force, and as Vegas gets the lion's share of the state budget... Her father almost winced as he said that. The governor figures we probably have some experts on staff to help him. I'll set Kenneth on it. That'll give me a line on things.
How's Kenny doing?
Roxy asked. He's going to be crushed when he finds out you're off the market.
Roxy made a face. Sure he is. Rebecca told me he's all but moved into her place.
Her father laughed. I still think he'll be crushed. So, when do I get to meet this Sean?
My Sean,
Roxy corrected. Okay, your Sean. Roxy got out her phone and sent Sean a text to see when he'd be free to meet her and her dad. She got a reply almost immediately.
His last class gets out at 3, she said. It was already after 1.
He's got people hunting him and he's still going to classes?
Her dad had to laugh at that.
Either he's really ballsy, or he's really stupid.
Or maybe he's just really smart,
Roxy smirked.
The campus is crawling with cops today, and you can't just walk into a classroom if you're not a student. Everyone knows everyone else there, Dad.
Her father nodded and conceded the point. It actually did make sense. Well, come on. Let's go shopping, her father said, signaling for the bill.
I don't need another pistol, Dad. I already have 2.
Maybe your boyfriend might like one.
He's only 20. He can't carry concealed yet.
When's his birthday?
Roxy shrugged. I haven't asked him yet.
March 23rd,
her father grinned.
Roxy sighed.
I should have figured,
she sat up suddenly.
That's
a week and a half away. He finished.
No, it's in the middle of spring break. I'd forgotten all about spring break. I need to cancel my plans.
Her father blinked. Plans? Roxy smirked at her dad.
I usually go to Daytona with all the other gals and engage in a week of drunken debauchery. You know, like your sons, my brothers do.
Maybe you should just take Sean with you. Get out of town for a little while. Roxy nodded.
Yeah, but I don't think a beach in Florida surrounded by a million drunk kids is the place for that.
Uh-huh. Her dad said as he took the check from the waitress and, after looking at it, threw a bunch of bills down on the table to cover everything. Let's go. I'm sure we can find something that you think he might like.
Roxy sighed and grinned. Her dad loved this shop for guns whenever he was upset about something. Considering all the things she and her brothers had put him through, there was quite an arsenal in the family home.
Father-in-laws.
Sean's first impression of Roxy's father, Bill Channing, was that he was a big man. That lasted for maybe a second as his lion whispered in his head that he, Sean, was bigger. And just like that, all of his fears, worries, and concerns went right out the window. It felt different. Yeah, it was strange. Sean had never been one to stand up and stand out. He had always kept his head down, like his mother had constantly told him. But then again, he had always remembered the one rule that Samson had told him, which was the most important he claimed in life. Don't back down. Ever. Standing there, shaking hands with Roxy's dad, a man who looked like he had earned his job the hard way, who was big, imposing, and looking at Sean the way fathers all through time had probably looked at their little girl's boyfriend, Sean just smiled. Sean had weighed himself this morning. He'd gained over 20 pounds since the last time he'd done that, and he really was starting to look strong, ripped, just like Samson had always looked.
So, you're my daughter's latest? Bill Channing said to Sean as they shook hands.
No, I'm her last, Sean said, still smiling. Her father, Mr. Channing, scowled at him for a moment and then sighed.
Well, at least you don't scare easily,
Roxy interrupted.
Okay, Dad, Sean, enough of the dominance displays. Let's go eat.
Yes, honey, Mr. Channing said.
Yes, love,
Sean replied, earning a look from her father. Sean earned another look when he dragged Roxy into the back seat of the car with him and smiled at her father in the mirror.
Are you trying to push me, son? Mr. Channing said as he put the car in gear and drove off.
Roxy started to say something, but Sean held up his hand, stopping her. Actually, Sean said, my dad died when I was 8, and suddenly after all these years, I just got a new one. Roxy thinks the world of you, and I can see why.
Sean watched as Roxy's dad seemed to deflate a little and then grumbled as Roxy leaned over and kissed Sean. Just what I need, another wise-ass son, Mr. Channing grumbled.
Roxy laughed.
He raised 4 of them, Dad, so you sure must like them.
Sean relaxed back into the seat, and for the moment, everything seemed normal and right with the world.
We're being followed,
Roxy said 5 minutes later, and Sean sighed and sat up.
Yeah, I had a few of the boys from the local PD assigned to follow me around in an unmarked car today,
Mr. Channing said from up front as he turned into the parking lot for a rather pricey steakhouse.
Why'd you do that? Sean asked.
Because with all of the trouble you two seem to have been drawing lately, I thought it might be a good idea.
I was kind of hoping that after yesterday they would have backed off for a while.
If they were smart enough to do that, they would never have tried what they did at the mall,
Mr. Channing pointed out.
Though something like that had to have sucked up a lot of resources, in which case things should quiet down for a little while.
Sean just nodded. They parked without further harassment and were quickly seated at a nice table in the back. It was still a little while before the dinner rush. Sean made sure to order a lot of food this time, and dinner passed rather nicely with pleasant small talk about the Channing family and what Roxy's brothers were all up to. Dinner finished, they were eating dessert when Mr. Channing brought the conversation back to the present.
So, Sean, what do you know about your father?
Sean shook his head. Not much, really. I know now that he was a pretty accomplished alchemist, and apparently he was doing things that some people didn't approve of, while others wanted to get their hands on it.
What? Roxy said, looking at him. Sean blushed and turned to face her.
I'm sorry, hon. after Jolene removed that spell or thing on me.
Gash,
Roxy filled in. I had a dream. Apparently my father had set a bunch of training spells and such on me before he died. Well, they activated last night, and I didn't get the chance to tell you before you left for class.
Roxy calmed down and patted his leg under the table. Jolene had been doing her best to distract him this morning, after he'd already seriously distracted her beforehand.
So, does this mean you're an alchemist, too? Mr. Channing asked.
Sean shrugged. I have all the stuff he wanted me to study in my head now, but I haven't even begun to start on it. I still have a year of college left, and, well, I don't have clue one as to where to start with all of this. Right now, I'd just like to find out who the hell is after me, why they're after me, and make them stop.
Sean growled out the last bit.
Or rather, Sean and his lion did. They were definitely a lot more in tune today.
Well, I pulled all the records I could on your father yesterday. A lot of them have all been archived. He's been dead for 12 years now, after all. But what was done to you and your mom, well, that was a big red flag. A lot of people dumped a lot of crap on the two of you. None of that makes any sense. I don't recall hearing anything about it down in Vegas, and Sid, the guy who's sheriff here now, he wasn't living in Reno back then, so he doesn't know anything about it either.
We tried asking one of them, Sean admitted, looking down at his plate. He seemed to think I had some legacy of my dad's.
Sean shook his head.
We were cleaned out, completely. The few things they left us, I know they went over and let us have only because they weren't worth much.
Sean looked up at Mr. Channing.
And now that I know that they cast some nasty spell on me, when I was still just a child, I know there is no way my father could have left me anything. They're just grasping at straws for something that doesn't exist anymore, if it ever did.
Sean watched as Mr. Channing sat back and thought about that, obviously mulling it over. Okay, Mr. Channing said after a couple of minutes of silence. Here's what I suggest. Drop out of college and disappear for a while. Study as much of that stuff your father left you as you can. Alchemists make good money. There aren't a lot of them around. I'll dig into your father's background as much as I can, and I'll use some of my own connections to see if I can make these assholes go away. If not, I know some people who sure as hell can.
Sean blinked. Drop out? I'm more than halfway through the semester. We're pretty sure they're using magical means to track him, Dad.
Roxy piped up.
So it doesn't matter where we go. They're still gonna find us.
But wouldn't you rather be some place where you can see them coming?
Mr. Channing replied to his daughter. Actually, Sean said, I grew up here. I've worked damn near every place around here. These guys, they stand out. I think I can see them a lot better here, and there's a lot more places to lose them.
They already grabbed you once,
Mr. Channing pointed out. Yeah. But I'm not that kid anymore. Anyone who tries to grab me now isn't going to live to regret it.
Sean growled in a low voice.
Mr. Channing nodded slowly.
Well, every man has to make his own decision on just when and where he's going to stand his ground. You just take care of my daughter, you hear? Anything happens to her, and I'm going to be pissed.
When they got back out to the car, Mr. Channing opened up the trunk and waved Sean over as Roxy got in the back.
You know how to handle and shoot a pistol? Mr. Channing asked Sean.
Sean rolled his eyes.
This is Reno. Kinda hard not to learn how to shoot around here.
Don't get wise. Have you had any training?
Sean nodded.
Yeah, Samson trained me.
My daughter said he was some sort of soldier?
Yeah, he was. He taught me how to shoot and everything. But I never had the money to buy a gun. Not like I had anything to steal.
Mr. Channing pulled out a box and handed it to Sean.
Consider this a mating gift. My daughter has made it pretty clear that you two are in this for the long haul.
Thanks, Sean said, a little unsure. But we can't open carry on campus.
Your CCW is in the box.
What? I'm not even 21 yet.
No, but you will be soon. Sid owed me a few favors, and well, there are exceptions to every rule. The holsters I got you are all elastic, so you can shift in them. Figure out which one you like and start packing.
Claws are nice, but you can't kill someone from the other side of a parking lot with them. Sean nodded.
What about Roxy?
Oh, I took care of her already.
Mr. Channing smiled. Thanks.
Sean smiled.
Dad?
Just don't make me regret it, Mr. Channing warned in a whisper.
Well, that went well,
Sean sighed, smiling down at Roxy as they laid on her bed. The very first thing they'd done after closing the door was to shed their clothes, get on the bed, and just screw their brains out.
Roxy smiled and kissed him. I think he likes you.
Of course he does, Sean grinned. Everyone likes me.
Uh-huh. Sure,
Roxy drawled.
So aren't you going to open up your present and see what my dad got you?
The box is heavy enough. I'm guessing a 50-caliber Desert Eagle.
Roxy laughed. Right gun, wrong caliber. It's a 44 Magnum. He figures your hybrid hands have got to be pretty big, so you might not be able to use a smaller gun, and 44 is a lot cheaper than 50.
Sean nodded, then frowned.
What?
Who knows when I'll be able to achieve my hybrid form.
Yes, well, I have to study, and you probably should, too,